Making big shifts in our business is always scary, and it's one thing to strategize the plans, but it's another to implement the changes, and then to navigate the unexpected ups and downs along the way too. Most of the time on this show, we're talking to people in the midst of making changes, or shortly thereafter, once they've done something in their business. But today on the show, we're bringing back PaperCamp alum Stephanie Clark for a business update. A little bit about Stephanie. She is the owner and designer of Dahlia Press, a letterpress greeting card company based out of Seattle, Washington. She began her business in 2008 after leaving the corporate world to pursue her passion of designing unique and creative custom invitations. In 2014, she expanded her product line to include letterpress greeting and social stationery, which are now available to the wholesale market, including Urban Outfitters and Anthropologie. At the same time, she opened her first brick and mortar location for retail sales. And then in 2019, Stephanie launched a sister brand to Dahlia Press under the name of Chloe Clark, The Art of Paper, dedicated entirely to her bespoke wedding invitations. Today, Dahlia Press and Chloe Clark have neighboring studios in Seattle's Portage Bay neighborhood, and this is Stephanie's third time on the Proof to Product show. In episode 21, we talked about how she built her team and packaging solutions, which are still going strong today. And in episode 160, she told us about how she split her brands of ready-made wholesale products and custom wedding invitations into the sister brands, and that was back in 2020. On today's episode, Stephanie is sharing the challenges and the benefits of dividing her company into two brands, how she expanded her retail footprint after COVID, and more about her current team dynamics. We're talking about structure, but also the mindset shifts that entrepreneurs go through when they are hiring staff and relinquishing control of aspects of their business. Today's episode is brought to you by our free on-demand wholesale audio series. Many brands jump into selling wholesale before they are ready, and I know because I was one of them. My products were priced too high, I didn't have SKU numbers, and my wholesale terms and conditions were non-existent. If this is you, it is not your fault. I did not know all the things that I didn't know at the time, and I was learning as I was going, and you are probably in the same boat. But the good news is we have answers for you that will help you avoid these same mistakes. In our free wholesale audio series, I'll walk you through the biggest mistakes and most common questions that folks have when they are starting and scaling wholesale. You can head to prooftoproduct.com/privatepod to enroll in this free on-demand audio series. You can binge it in less than an hour, and you can listen on your favorite podcast player, including the one you're listening to now. It will provide you with concrete action steps for simplifying wholesale, and you can get access at prooftoproduct.com/privatepod. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Stephanie, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Thank you so much, Katie. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you back because last time you and I chatted here on the show, I mean, we've seen each other thankfully in real life recently at different shows, but on the show, the podcast here, it was in 2020 and you were telling us about how you were splitting your business into two different brands. You had Dahlia Press for your, you know, wholesale line and ready-made products. And then you had Chloe Clark for your custom line, mostly wedding stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yes, no, that's correct.
And so just briefly remind our audience, and for everyone that hasn't listened to that episode, we will for sure include that in the show notes so you can go back and listen to Stephanie's story then and then hear where she's at now, because I love the transformations. But briefly remind everyone why you made the decision to split the brand into two pieces.
Sure. It feels so long ago now.
I know, right?
2020 was like a million years ago. So I had started Dahlia Press in 2008. And at that point, it was doing a little bit of everything. So custom design for wedding invitations and personal stationery. And then we also launched our wholesale greeting card line. And at some point, as kind of both of those custom and wholesale retail sides grew, it just started to feel like the waters were getting muddied. And our story, both on social media and in marketing materials, just felt like we were pitching to two different audiences through the same voice. And I was really struggling with that. I think our customers were struggling a little with that. And so to just really like divide and define the sides of our business, I split it in half and we rebranded the wedding side to be Chloe Clark, The Art of Paper. And that is now a custom bespoke invitation studio. And we kept Dahlia Press as our greeting card line because we'd already built a name around that. And yeah. So now that's focused entirely on wholesale and retail accounts.
Awesome. So I know you went into this decision super confident. We talked about, you know, how you rolled it out and what you were doing on the marketing side and how you had to rebrand. And all of that was super fascinating. I'm curious, though, now that you're into it, like, as you reflect back on that transitional period, how did it feel going through it? Now, like, it's one thing to strategize. It's another thing to implement. So as you were implementing it, did it feel good? Did it feel a little messy? Did it, like, what were your thoughts there?
A little all of the above. When it first started, I felt very confident, but scared. I was nervous about what it would potentially do to my customers. Was it going to confuse them? Was I telling the story correctly? And would I lose business? Because I felt like we had a really strong presence in the wedding industry under the name Dahlia Press. So I was nervous that was going to confuse people. I was not scared when it came to the greeting card wholesale side because that wasn't changing. So I felt really confident. All of this, though, started at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. So then the world imploded and things got really confusing. Weddings kind of came to a screeching halt. So that made me slow down on that side of the business, which was fine because I think I was also a little mentally prepared for there to be an adjustment period. So that was probably the best time for that to happen in some ways. And it also kind of gave me renewed interest in really ramping up retail, which was something I had kind of fallen out of love with. So instead, we really focused on like direct to our customers, trying to implement some additional things within Dahlia Press, like our subscription box. And eventually, I don't know if you remember the last time we spoke, I had just closed our retail store.
Yeah.
Which I felt very good about. After we came out of COVID, we actually got a second space. So we now have two spaces within our building. So each side of the business has its own studio. And I reopened the retail space. So
I love it. I love it. I want to dive further into that decision and how that's all rolled out. Ooh, but can we dive? Oh, gosh.
Yes,
now, we can now, now I'm torn. How do I take this conversation? Because I still have questions about the brand. Okay, let's stick with the brand split and then we'll come back to the store because I want to hear about that decision because I'll get into this. But like there were a lot of folks just closing stuff down because, you know, it was tough. It was tough to
absolutely.
So for you to be swinging the other way is awesome. Okay, wait, let's finish this brand conversation because my brain is firing on all cylinders. So it sounds like the timing is what it was and we had no control over some of the things, obviously a lot of things happening in the world. But what are some of the benefits and some of the challenges that you faced by splitting the brand? I mean, I can think of some logistical things offhand of, you know, having two websites to manage and two social feeds. Like that's a big undertaking in and of itself, but you also were talking to two different audiences and you had different systems and processes. So can you talk a little bit about some of the logistics around that?
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like in some ways having the two brands, I have to kind of split my brain in half. So trying to just organize things, I do have two different email accounts, which is helpful because I know when things are coming in on the Chloe Clark email, I know it's wedding related. And I know that anything on the Dahlia Press end is wholesale or retail related. So that's just helpful visually for me. I also went ahead and when it came to my employees, I essentially have two different teams. So I have people who are dedicated entirely to Dahlia Press and maybe they do a couple things to help out on the Chloe Clark end, but really Dahlia Press is their domain. And then I have designers who work entirely on the Chloe Clark side and occasionally they help out with the greeting card end, but like it's just better for me to kind of divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to marketing, I focus most of my attention on the greeting card side because I feel like that's where email blasts and social media have really helped. With the wedding side, because it's mostly local, we do have some weddings that are out of state or out of country, but most of them are coming through some sort of local vendor, like a planner. So I don't have to push the marketing materials so much on that end. I feel like I spend more time going to like social events for the wedding side and being more active kind of in the wedding industry here locally than I do like pitching it to the world.
Right. Yeah. No, the wedding side is definitely going to be, I assume, more word of mouth and that relationship marketing. I mean, wholesale is definitely relationship marketing too, but it's a different way because it's not, as you mentioned, so localized. It's
absolutely
broader base. Okay, this is fascinating. Okay, let's goose back to this COVID retail shop. And I'm sorry, my brain was firing. So
no, like, I kind of threw that one in there.
No, it was like, it, like I said, it kind of prompted all these different questions for me. But before we move on though, like, do you feel like it was a good move, like in retrospect, to split the brands?
Absolutely. Yes, I would not change that for a single second. I think, you know, I debate about whether or not I should have kept the names kind of connected, like should I just made Dahlia Press Weddings? I think to the neighborhood, that would have made more sense because they feel like we have two competing brands within the building, which is kind of hilarious. But overall, I think it was the smartest move I could have made.
Yeah. To hear you talk about it too. And when I saw you in April at the Noted show, you just have such a confidence about, and you've always been confident in your business. I've always loved watching you grow and the decisions you make, but there's like a maturity as an entrepreneur that I'm seeing in you. And I just want to acknowledge that publicly because I'm super, like, it's fun to watch from the outside and know, like, gosh, she's really living the way she wants. She's built these businesses the way she wants to run them and building the life she wants. And I don't know, it's just very admirable. So kudos to you on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. There are still days where I'm like, what am I doing?
But we all have those days.
But overall, I do feel like I have kind of crafted the life I want to live, which is nice and how it should be.
Yeah, it totally is the main reason we all got into this in the first place.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about revitalizing your storefront after COVID and the fact that, like, you had, you know, shut it down. And then when others were kind of tightening things up, closing things down, you decided on expansion. So talk to me about that choice.
Yeah. So we have been in the same kind of retail studio space for, gosh, I think 7 maybe years now. It's been a long time. And essentially, we started to outgrow that space. And part of that was because we have dedicated the front to a retail storefront. And it's very small, it's manageable, but just having people come in and out all day was difficult. And I was not enjoying it because I was working in that space. And so they were interrupting my workflow throughout the day. So I had made the decision prior to COVID to close down the storefront. And we remodeled it, went through a whole remodeling process, with the intention of turning the front into a consultation space for the wedding side. So at that point, we had both brands living under one roof. And that was working fine and actually was a great choice given that COVID was happening. So we had already decided we were going to lose out on that retail money coming in, which was totally fine. So that was nice knowing that there wasn't like a huge loss there by any means. We were anticipating that. And it was great to not have people coming in during COVID. But when I did start to open it back up to have meetings, we discovered it messed with everyone else's schedule in the studio because printing would have to stop. And our printing presses are also right in that front space. So I couldn't have a consultation with a bride and have printing going on in the background and have people blaring music and packaging orders in the back room. So that it just suddenly living these two businesses in one house was not working. It was not a good relationship. So we needed a second space. And as luck had it, a space opened up in our building 2 doors down. So we were able to take over that space, which needed a big remodel and overhaul. So that took some time. But now that is our designated Chloe Clark studio. That is also where my office is. So I work in that space, which then reopened the possibility of having the retail space again in Dahlia Press and letting customers come in and buy cards. And so we just thought, why not? Let's give it a shot. And so as things died down with COVID, we remodeled that space again and reopened the storefront. And people have really loved it. And actually, I've loved it, which I didn't think I would. But I think because I'm not working in that space, I can enjoy it when I go in there now.
It's really fascinating to hear you talk about your personal boundaries and your personal, like, physical space and how that plays into some of these decisions. Because obviously, when under one roof, it wasn't working operationally for everyone to do their jobs and for you to have the peace of mind and
exactly
all of those things. But having this opportunity to switch things out, it sounds like everything and everyone on your team are thriving now because of
absolutely. This. Yeah. I mean, I will say, I feel like our printer and our wholesale manager who are in the Dahlia Press space don't always love having to drop what they're doing to help customers, but it's rare because it's in a little residential pocket. So it's not like we have people in all day long and it's manageable. And we all kind of take turns. Like if I happen to be in there, I'll jump out and help who's ever coming into the store. But for the most part, like, they don't really seem to mind it. And the neighborhood loves it. And it keeps people coming in and asking questions and buying cards. And giving us feedback. So it's really worked nicely. And then when they do have wedding inquiries, they send them two doors down to me. So that's perfect.
And if you were to get busier to the point where you needed to bring somebody on full-time or part-time just for the retail shop, you could absolutely do that too.
Yeah.
You know, there's options there, but at least now the physical spaces are functioning in a way that work better for everyone.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about your team a little bit. You started as a solo entrepreneur and now you have a team of six and
yes, including myself. There's six.
Okay. Six of you on the team and the two studio locations. So how has this team grown? Like what were kind of the first things you hired for and how did you decide which strategic positions to hire for next?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. When I started the business in my home, in my basement, it was just me. And then I brought on kind of a series of interns initially and taught them how to print, had them help with packaging. And it really kind of stayed that way for quite a while. One of them became a part-time employee and moved into the retail space with me when I first got the brick and mortar. And then from there, I brought on my brother, actually, who is now our full-time printer.
Awesome.
And it taught him how to print and he's great. And so it's a lot of fun to get to work with him. And shortly after that, I brought on our wholesale manager, who is also my bookkeeper. So that works out really nicely. She does all the things numbers, which is perfect. And then we needed to hire some additional help with wholesale fulfillment. So from there, we've brought on another team member. So all those people are kind of living in the Dahlia Press space. So we've got three of them in there between fulfillment and wholesale management and printing. And then this last year, I decided, well, actually, I guess the last 2 years, I need design help. So I had brought on some students, graphic design students, who came on and helped part-time. And then this past year, we decided we needed someone full-time. So we hired a full-time designer.
Awesome.
And the three of us live in the Chloe Clark space. So it kind of works really nice.
And those designers are primarily working on the Chloe Clark wedding stuff, or are they helping with design ideas for Dahlia too?
Both, mostly Chloe Clark wedding stuff. But right now we're in the process of finalizing our summer release. And so they are helping with the greeting card designs. I would say though, when it comes to like marketing materials, that's still very much falling on me for Dahlia Press.
Yeah. But wouldn't you say that that's stuff you enjoy doing given
Absolutely.
Your corporate design, commercial design background?
Yes. And it gives me a break from the brides. So that's perfect.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And then we do have some additional help. I talked about in the past, our packaging squad of mm-hmm. ladies who are taking product home and packaging those. We have four of them who come in and out weekly and take product and take it home, package it up and bring it back.
Is that still working really well for you?
It's great. Yeah. We've had a variety of people kind of swap out over time, but it's been such a good system. And it's so nice to just show up in the morning and have boxes of packaged product ready to go on the shelves.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
I'm sure our listeners are wondering, are you paying them per piece? And is it a different per piece price for different types of products based on complexity?
Yes. Yeah, we pay by the card. And then we have a different price for like if we're doing box sets or pencils or other products that involve stickers. And then occasionally, you know, there's extra stuff we'll have to have them do. Like for big box stores, we may have some extra labeling that has to be done. So it varies. But I think they really enjoy it. They take the stuff home. They get to watch Netflix and fold cards. And we've had some of these ladies now for years working with us.
So amazing. Amazing. Yeah. That's great. So you've started with interns too, and then this packing staff. And
we also have a copywriter that we work with.
Oh, great.
Who is not in our building. She's actually on the East Coast. And so that has worked really nicely just to have other input when it comes to like some of those marketing pieces and social media and just stuff that like, you know, newsletters. I feel like I can get lost in writing newsletters for days. And so it's nice to have someone else take on some of those things.
I would love to hear more about what you're having the copywriter do for you, because I've been talking to a couple of my advisory board clients about their needs. And they said, I think you should hire a copywriter, because I was telling them, you know, it's not just for ideas for your products or your marketing materials or your social captions or your emails. Like there's a lot more that you can leverage this person for. So do you mind sharing what you're having them do?
Yeah. So she and I speak once a week. And during that time, we'll kind of talk about like the events that are coming up within the month or in the quarter, prepping for like a show coming up. And then she is writing all of our social media. She lays out basically a calendar for me so that I can just kind of go through and tweak that and plug and play in our social media planning calendar.
Awesome.
And pop in photos and then that's done. She does all of the research on the hashtags we should be using and any events coming up, you know, even within the world that we should be making commentary on, which is great. And then she writes all of our newsletter copy for retail and wholesale, which is wonderful because those are two different markets.
Yeah.
And then she, anytime I've needed any sort of like bio copy or anything that, you know, we've had to plug in for any other sort of events, she's helped write up. She also writes our postcard copy for our squad boxes. That is our subscription box. So, I mean, really anything that I have kind of just needed someone else's input on, she's happy to help.
Oh, that's fantastic. Especially when you've been working with somebody for so long and they understand your brand and the audience exactly. that you're speaking to, because in your case too, you are speaking to multiple different types of audiences. So
totally.
Do you have her own retainer? No, I'm just being nosy.
No. She's got a variety
project-based.
And she's got a variety of clients that she does this for. So that's nice.
Oh, fantastic. That's good. Project-based is the way to go too, especially when you're starting with somebody like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think moving to retainer later when you know that you have a constant flow of work makes sense, but
totally.
So, hey, looking back like 3 years ago now, when you were making this decision to split the brand, what is something you wish you could have told yourself now that you know all that you know?
I honestly think really it's just kind of trust your gut. I mean, I feel like when I came out with this idea, there was a lot of people who were like, why would you want to mess with a good thing? Like, you've got a good setup. You've been in business for a long time. Why would you want to throw this little monkey wrench into it? And I feel like I felt very strongly about it. And I knew if I just put in the effort, it would work. And even though I was very nervous to make this move, I think I wish I could have just gone back and been like, just trust your gut. This is the right move. It's going to take a while, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I think one of the things I keep telling myself through business, and I know I keep talking about this with others that I'm working with, change is inevitable in business, mm-hmm. right? Like, we know this. In order to continue thriving, we have to continue to tweak things or change things, but that doesn't make it any less scary to
right.
when it comes to these big decisions. And
yeah,
and some of our decisions are big, but there are like internal decisions, like the public doesn't necessarily see them. Mm-hmm. But with stuff like rebranding or splitting a business or whatever it is, like, that's very public. It's very like the marketing and the communication around it need to be super strong.
Absolutely. Well, and it's also scary when you do have a team, because if financially it doesn't work, it doesn't just fall on me. It's not like I just take a pay cut. I mean, it could potentially hurt everyone. So yeah, it was very scary, but I feel like we did it kind of at the right time and it gave me an opportunity to continue growing, which, you know, I feel like I was almost at a point where I was putting too many eggs in one basket and that was a little scary. So yeah. It felt right to continue diversifying the business.
So here's another thing I'd love your input on. You know, I work with folks all the way from, I know you know this, I'm telling this to listeners. I work with people that are like baby businesses all the way up to people like you that have multiple revenue streams, teams, all the things. And one of the things I see in the earlier phase of business is they're trying to diversify too early. They're jumping into too many things, partly out of a desire to see what sticks and see what they enjoy. And like, so it's more of an experiment. But then you get to this messy middle, as I like to call it. And that's where I feel like folks need to pick a lane and really dive deep into one revenue stream and get that revenue stream running like a well-oiled machine. You know, the SOPs, any people structure, the products are all there, you know, like all of that. And then we get to the scaling phase, which obviously you're at now. And that's where we can then start to look at diversifying again, but in a very systematic way where we're building those individual engines. And so it's wonderful to see someone who has been through all three of those kind of phases. And you're still continuing to scale and diversify in different ways. Did you feel those different phases as you were coming up? Like, did you do the experimentation at the beginning? Like, do you mind sharing some of that?
So when I started, I feel like it was kind of like when one fell in my lap, I would take the opportunity to use it, but it wasn't my focus. And so I do feel like when I started the business, although we were doing a lot of weddings, I didn't know that that was where I wanted the business to go. And when I started the greeting card line and launched into wholesale, that felt right. And that felt like that deserved my attention. So that did really become my main focus, I think, for a number of years. And the weddings were kind of a nice little almost side job that just brought in a little bit of extra cash here and there and kind of helped keep our name in that world. but it wasn't certainly where I wanted to put all of my mental energy and my creative energy. So I think then as things progressed and I could see that there was potential there to really expand on that side, that's where I started to struggle with the breaking of the two brands and how do I stay relevant in these two very separate industries. Yeah. So I feel like that was when I kind of went through that messy middle phase of like, I'm doing a little too much on both sides, but that's also when I kind of made that transition into hiring help. And so in order to make that happen, it was like, fine, I can focus on the creative end of Dahlia Press, but I need other people to keep that engine running and to do the printing and to keep the wholesale accounts going and to handle the bookkeeping and package the orders. And so I really ramped up that portion of the business so that I didn't have to be the focus of it. And I could just focus on the part I'm best at. Then that gave me space for the wedding side. And then we kind of went through that same growing pain on that side where now I've had to hire the designers to ramp that up. So it's been nice. I feel like now these things can function without me, which is great and ideal.
That's the goal.
Is that I can go on a vacation and everything stays afloat. And so I feel like we're finally there where like things are happening and I don't have to be the main player all the time.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up because that's a huge piece of this growth phase that we just talked about. In that beginning phase, we're doing everything. I mean, I remember my family helping to sleeve book plates over Thanksgiving and, you know, all these things were happening and you find help where you can, but it's not strategic help. It's not an employee or, you know, even your fulfillment team that you've got really dialed in. So I think there is in that messy middle, this turning phase of like, I can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. I need to systematize this and get the right people on board so that we can continue to scale up and do the things we need to do.
Totally.
I mean, it's a big transition. Were you scared hiring people?
I'm still scared.
Fair enough. Yes.
Yeah. It's been really interesting. I've been very lucky. I have a few people who have been with me now for years. And so it works. We have a really great working relationship. And I know that they are very dedicated to my company, which I think finding people who are excited about a brand that's not theirs is probably a tall order. And I have found the right people who are very excited to be a part of this. On the flip side, we've also had some people come in that just have not been good fits. And so there's been a lot of lessons learned trying to figure out like how to work with someone and how to manage someone. I mean, I certainly didn't get into this to manage people. And so that has been a big education for me.
Yeah.
Having employees and working with different dynamics. And yeah, it's been a big learning curve.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like I'm still learning new things every single day. And, you know, we're rolling with the punches, figuring things out as we go. So I respect that. You know, as you look back on your business journey, what are you most proud of?
I mean, this sounds so silly, but to a certain extent, I'm just proud of that I'm still here. I mean, there is always that point where you're in the middle of it and you're like, this is great. Am I still going to be doing this in 5 years or in 3 years or tomorrow? And the fact that we had our 15-year anniversary is huge. And
huge.
I can't believe that this is still happening. And it brings me a lot of joy. And I don't know, now I think about it and there's nothing else I'd rather be doing. So yeah, I'm just very happy to have made this little project of mine work.
Right. This project that's profitable and supporting other people's livelihoods and bringing everyone around them joy. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I had to laugh because as you were talking and saying, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. My sister, she works for herself, but she's being recruited to an architecture firm and she's an architect. And we were sitting around over the weekend and I was like, you couldn't pay me $1 million to go work for somebody else. Right? And we were having a very funny, candid conversation, but there is something about being your own boss. And like, I mean, it's a whole lot of work, you know,
it's
a whole lot of stress. There's a lot of decisions that need to be made, but there's also something glorious about it that we can make it what we want and we can make those decisions and we can, you know, create the system so that we can have a life and go on vacation like you talked about earlier. And so she did interview with them and decided it wasn't the right position. She wanted to stay on her own, but I had to chuckle because I was like, oh gosh, like, I just don't think I could go back to something else at this point.
I know. It's so funny because I feel like a lot of people want, or they kind of glorify this idea of like being your own boss means making your own hours and having so much flexibility in your life. And yes, in ways, but in so many ways, I work so much more than I ever did working for anyone else.
Totally. 100%.
And it is hard to go on vacation because a lot of the time it's like, if I'm not there doing the work, who is doing the work and how are things getting done without me? But I feel like when you get to this point where you can step back a little bit and just enjoy it, it's like, well, this is what I was working for.
Yeah. I also think too, and I'm curious your thoughts, there's the mental shift too around it. When we're starting, it's very much hustle grind. I mean, I'm not a fan of the hustle culture at all, but just there's so much to do and not enough time to do it. And we don't have the support from other people that we need. So we're working very hard all the time, mm-hmm. It seems. You get to the messy middle and it's more of a decision fatigue on the mindset side, I think, where you're just making so many decisions and growth is huge because you're experimenting with bringing on team members or trying new vendors or systems and process. Like there's a lot of emotions around that and like mindset stuff around that. And then you get to the spot where, like you said, you have the team, you have the systems, but like even going on vacation, I feel like we pull on some of our old habits a little bit of like, oh, this can't function without me, but it can function without you because it functions every day with you on the peripheral, you know, and I don't know. What are your thoughts on like the mindset shifts around being an entrepreneur and kind of navigating that for yourself?
It's hard. I mean, I think I'm still struggling a lot with that. There's definitely certain sides of the business where I feel like I can let go of that part of it. Like when it comes to our wholesale accounts now, I feel completely confident that everyone else on my team has got that under control and that there might be some things that they need my input in, but really like I could go on vacation and it would be okay. It would keep going. Now, probably a new release would never happen, but the current cards, they could make it work.
And you know, they could handle customer service. You know, they can handle the orders out, like all of it, right?
Yep. They can deal with our reps. Like they can get samples out. They can get orders out. They can get everything done. Materials reordered. I feel very confident that we have put all the parts and pieces in place to get everything going. The wedding side is trickier because that one is so custom to each one of my clients. And even though there are repetitious steps in designing an invitation suite and getting it out the door, it just feels like it has so much handholding. And so I'm trying very hard to get those parts and pieces in place to where I can step back from that. And I'm very lucky that I have a great designer who has great communication skills with our customers and is willing to kind of step in on that. But yeah, it is a really difficult thing to trust other people to have your best interest and your business's best interest at heart. But it's one of those things that I'm trying my best to let them do that. And so far it's working.
I like to tell my team, I'm like, we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes, but mm-hmm. I trust you and want to empower you to make the decisions with regards to whatever their role is. And, you know, if it doesn't turn out the way we need it to, okay, we'll figure it out. We'll like make an adjustment. But I think that's been a transition that I've seen a lot in myself and in others of we've done and held things so close mm-hmm. for so long that relinquishing of the decisions and the power and the time, you know, all of that.
It can be
tough for folks that are in that messy middle and scaling mode. So,
yeah, I even had a conversation with another stationer at Noted about this, who was really struggling with the idea of hiring a designer to help mm-hmm. because she's doing all the design. And I had to tell her that, like, you know, it's going to be difficult to let go of that control because you want to have your name on everything that you put out into the world. But at a certain point, like you have to trust that someone else is here for your benefit and that you can train them to emulate your style and you can let someone else contribute to this project and it'll only make it better.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a hard one.
It is. It's tricky. And to your point earlier, like it is difficult to find people that are going to be loyal to your brand and care about it as much as we do. I don't expect my team to, you know, have that same level of dedication as something that's our own. Right. But at the same time, there are excellent people out there that want to support the vision of the business and the mission of the business and are also really dedicated to doing high quality work in whatever role they're doing. So it is possible to find those people too.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what's coming up next for you? What do you have on tap for the rest of the year?
We are getting ready to exhibit at New York Now this summer. So we will be there in August, which feels like it's coming up real fast.
It is. But also what number of show have you kept track? I mean, you've done the show so many times.
This will actually only be our third New York Now. Is that right?
But shows in general, you've done.
Shows in general. I think we've got to be at like 10 or 12 at this
point. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's a lot. We took a break for a while. which was nice. I think I needed a little step back from trade shows, but I think especially after COVID, I really missed them and I missed seeing our buyers and just having that relationship. So I was kind of ready to jump back in and, you know, I think you get in the swing of it and then you're like, well, I don't really want this to stop. It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially if, I mean, you've been doing them for so long and you have such a strong customer base that one, it's a great way to see folks you're already working with. It's a great opportunity to get in front of new buyers and new stores. But it's also, like you said, the social side of it of like, mm-hmm. hey, I get to see others in the industry, whether that's my reps, my stores, my colleagues in the industry. And that is a benefit, even though it's not like direct ROI benefit, but it can be.
Absolutely. And I mean, this year I didn't exhibit at Noted, but I just went and walked for the day. And that was so valuable just to get FaceTime with people and to say hi and support them and to run into you. And I even traveled to Noted with one of my sales reps. So that was great. We had extra time together. I mean, I just think it's very easy as a sole business owner to just hide in your studio and, you know, feel very secular. And so it was nice to go and just be supportive of other people and have them be excited about, you know, seeing me too. Like that was, it felt really good.
Oh yeah, I agree. I felt like one day was too short. There were more people I wanted to talk to and see. Yeah. And I just, unfortunately, couldn't do longer, but.
Yeah. No, I did too. Plus that made for a really long day. Travel.
Yeah, I know. You guys flew down that morning and then all day at the show and then flying back. That does make for a long day.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to take the next day off.
I don't blame you. I did end up staying the night in San Francisco because we hosted that meetup for our Proof to Product community. But then I had to get back. We had like, I don't know, kids have two baseball games or something that night. So I'm like, okay, I got to get back to
life. Yeah.
It's wild, the things we do. But anyhow, well, okay, let's tell folks where they can find you online to follow you on social and your websites and all of that.
Yes. So dahliapress.com and at dahliapress for all social. And then if anyone's interested in the wedding site, it's chloeclerkpaper.com. There's an E at the end of Clark and at chloeclerkpaper.
Stephanie, I very much appreciate your time today and just coming back to share what it was like going through that transition. And I think it's fun for me to see you all and like to talk through and see like how things have changed over the years. But I hear from our listeners too, that they love these kind of then and now episodes too. So thank you for your candor and for just being so generous with your time and information too.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure.
I love chatting with you. Thanks for coming. Reconnecting with our alumni and seeing their transformations and the choices they've made, how they are crafting a business that fits the life they want to lead. It is so empowering and inspirational. A huge thanks to Stephanie for coming back on the show. She may be our first third-time guest. We're going to have to go and check that out. But we will include all of her links in the show notes, along with her previous Proof to Product episodes where she was featured, so you can go back and listen to those too. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend that would benefit from listening. And please leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. Your ratings and reviews tell the podcast feeds that our show is worth promoting to new listeners. Plus, it makes us feel good to know that this labor of love is making such a positive impact in your life and your business. Head to ratethispodcast.com/PTP to leave your 5-star rating and write a review. Again, that's ratethispodcast.com/PTP for Proof to Product. You'll be able to select your favorite podcast player and leave a review there. Thank you so much for listening into the end. I will be back next week with a new episode. Have a wonderful week.